One. God has blessed us all truly indeed that not only are we able to come to the house of the Lord to be able to worship him together, but if God has allowed you to get up and put one foot in front of the other and you had a roof over your head and had something to put in your belly, you ought to say amen, because God truly has been good to all of us. And the least that we can do is to worship him. And I pray that you didn't begin your worship when you got here this morning. But worship is a continual state of praise when one's heart is directed toward God in thanksgiving for all that he's done. And as the Hebrew writer would say, that we have to continue to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes in life, it don't always feel good to give God the praise. Sometimes it's hard to sing because many of us have come in with hurt hearts. We've had things going on in our lives, but it's a sacrifice. And you ought to open up your mouth and you ought to sing. You ought to have a smile on your face. And is there anybody this morning that don't look like what you've been through? Holler at me just for a second if you don't look like what you've been through. And the reason why we cannot look like what we've been through is because God has been with us in all of our storms. And so we're thankful to him this morning. I'm just so excited this morning. And y'all are in trouble because when I spoke this morning, I was a little slow of speech and of thought because I didn't have coffee nor donuts. And so between service, I have had both. I want to thank Brother Gibbs and Brother Travis for that. And it's just good to be here. I was shocked to see that many people this morning at the 8 o'clock service. And I'm even more surprised to see this many more at the 10:45 service. But it's good to be here. As I stated before, it's just been a wonderful week for me. Last week, got to go home to an old congregation at Figueroa and do a revival there. And I was still on a high from that. And then come here this morning and see a lot of old friends. And I think I said I want to place my second membership at Greenville Avenue. It seemed like I'm over here so much. And y'all are always so kind and so gracious. So I love being over here. And I want to thank again Brother Gibbs, your fine minister, someone who I've looked up to for so long, has been in this for so long, preaching the word, and so many not just here but around the country look up to him, and many of us have had him as a professor and a student, and his son Shelton, one of my good friends, and someone who we try to encourage along the way, and to all of the fine elders here, which you guys have wonderful shepherds. Thank them as well as Brother Travis for the invitation, and I appreciate it. I always say nobody has to invite you to do anything, so I'm glad to be here this morning. Again, glad to serve alongside my brother, who's done a great job this morning, and I want to acknowledge, I saw my parents come in over there, glad to see them as always, and so I really got to go ahead and preach now that they have come. But no, and lastly, I see my Cedar Valley youth, and they came over, as I stated this morning, and some of them were going to be coming over for the 10:45. So y'all raise y'all's hand. Where are y'all at? All of our youth, thank y'all for coming. I'm so glad that they came over, and some of them, and you all just have been wonderful, and the kind words go a long way. So I'm just going to spend the whole day with you all today. So feeling blessed, 8 o'clock in the day, and then coming back at 6 as well. To continue speaking. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then I want you to also mark Romans chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Romans chapter 6. Now, as I stated this morning, I know this is Youth Day, but those of you who know me, and especially my youth, know, I try to deliver every message where the youth can understand it. I believe that's what's wrong in our society, is that we water down the message in the Word of God. And our youth can understand quadratic equations. They can understand algebra and chemistry and the periodic table. You can understand what God wants you to do in your life. And I believe that it's important today. And this message that I'm going to preach today, you know, I came up in the church and I heard a lot of messages, but I'm going to try to preach this message the way I wish someone would have preached it to me when I was young. And I believe that today, if you listen up, youth, I hope you can get what I'm trying to say. And you can only do that if you take a few minutes, take your mind off of everything that's on outside and listen what I'm saying, but listen what God is going to say through me to you. It's funny when you come to church, people will come out of church, and I try to listen. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care if they're one of my favorites or not. I feel like God is speaking through me every time the word of God is preached. There are times when there are people come to church and they say, that message wasn't for me. And so adults, even though I know this is Youth Sunday, the message is for you as well. Somebody says, that wasn't for me. Well, I got one for you. Matter of fact, I got one for all of us that I could preach today and every day, and that's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's your sermon right there, just in case you didn't think you were going to get one. You're here, and that's your message right there. But I'm not going to preach that one, but it's still applicable every single time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and our youth have heard me probably do this before, but that's okay. I've learned, even though I preach the same message this morning, I'm probably not going to even preach it the same way, because the Holy Spirit gives you different deliverance at different moments, and I pray that it will be received in the manner in which it was intended. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I don't have time to get into all the background and the context, but I think Paul says something in this one verse that will springboard me into my message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33, Paul says, "Do not be deceived." And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Evil company or evil communication will corrupt good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." Sometimes the Bible tells us what to do, and sometimes the Bible tells us what not to do. And equally important is that we pay attention to both the commands, the precepts, and the principles of the Word of God. Now, he tells us don't be deceived. And we know from the beginning, if you go back to Genesis, deception is the oldest tool of Satan. Even from the beginning, the Bible says that Satan deceived the woman. And Adam was tricked, in a sense, by his deception through Eve. And deception is just plain and simply something that's promising something that it does not deliver. In other words, there are a lot of things that you'll see in your life that looks good. But when you get down to it and you uncover it, it looks good on the surface. And everything that looks good to you is not good for you. Everything that tastes good to you is not good for you. And Satan's been throwing those same pitches since the Old Testament. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And he says these communications, these connections that you have in life, and as I begin this morning, I want to say, be careful what you join yourself to. Remember in Luke chapter 15 that there was a young man who thought he was owed an inheritance. And let me stop right here that some of us can't be grateful in our lives. We don't have a sense of gratitude because we are too entitled. We believe that God owes us stuff. But I got news for all of us. God owes us nothing. God doesn't owe us the breath that we breathe. He doesn't owe us the jobs, the money, our blessings of life. And so when you lose your sense of entitlement, you can really truly have gratitude in your life. And so what I mean by that is, young people, you ought to thank your parents. You didn't buy them Jordans on your own. Thank them for your PlayStation and your Xbox and for allowing you to have lunch money to go to school and putting a roof over your head and allowing the lights to be on. Nobody owns a cell phone in my house but me, because I'm the one that pays the bill. And most of y'all don't even have jobs, and your parents have blessed you with cell phones, and they provide for you. And this young man thought that he was owed something, and he left his father's house, and the Bible said he went and joined himself to a far country. And you got to be careful what you connect yourself to, what you join yourself to, because everybody is not for you. I know you don't like to be corrected, and you don't like instruction, and you think your parents are hard and tough. But let me tell you something. Those folks in the world, they don't love you like your parents love you. Some of these friends out here, they don't love you and like you like the people in this church do, that care about you and that want to see you do well. And so we've got a lot of young people who are privately, without us knowing, are joining themselves to things, and it's going to change your life. And you've got to be careful that these communications do not corrupt or erode what your training is and your values. And I want to talk this morning is that there's power in choices. And I said that this morning, there's powers and choices. And if we really understood the power of choice, this is why I said, I wish someone would have preached this like to me when I was young. Somebody said, well, Brother Bailey, what'd you do in your life? I didn't go out there and make a lot of dumb choices, but there were still some choices I could have made better had I realized the power of one choice and how it affects your life. Now, I want you to go over me to Romans chapter 6. Are y'all still with me? All right, and adults, y'all got to help me out this morning. If I'm saying something that makes sense, for the sake of the babies, for the sake of the children, just nod your head and say, we with you. All right, we got you, so they don't think I'm up here just saying some stuff. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul says in verse number 14, for sin shall not have control over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I often say, if I am a free man, I ought to live like a free man. Somebody says, what does a free man do? A free man obeys the laws of the land. Somebody says, I can do whatever I want to. Not in America, you can't. You are only as free as the Constitution of the United States says you are. There is freedom, but with boundaries. But that freedom that has boundaries, it is there to protect you. It's not there to restrict you. And so as you grow in your faith, you realize that God is not trying to choke the freedom out of your life and make you unhappy. He's trying to keep you from a lot of hurt that'll come your way and useless trials that you can bring upon yourself by neglecting the word of God. And so when you see that sign that says 70, slow down. If you drive an 80, don't get mad at the police officer for arresting you because they already told you how fast the speed will go. So when the Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender, why you get mad? Because you done borrowed a lot of stuff and now you become a slave to somebody else. Don't you think when God told you to preserve yourself to marriage, there was a reason? Everything that the Bible says, there's a reason for him saying it, but it's not restricting, it's to free you. And so a free man, if you don't want to go to jail, obey the laws of the land. If you want a good life, you got to obey those who God has entrusted you. God put your parents in your life to guide you and direct you and no friend. Why are you asking people that know just as much about the situation as you do? They don't know about it, but they think they do. But listen to the people that God has put in your life to serve as a guide along your journey. And so Paul says, shall we sin because we are under the law and under grace? Certainly not. In other words, just because God is good to us, and I need my dose on this, how many believe, and this in our own self-righteousness, sometimes we think that the next mistake we make is going to be the fatal one that has taken us out. But let's be honest, adults, and I'm going to come right down your street. Let's be real, real honest. You've already done enough to go to hell. Amen. Yep. Amen. So you don't even have to be self-righteous no more. You've already done enough to go. If you did another thing in your life, you've already done enough. But if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus Christ and that righteousness which does not come from self, but it comes from faith in the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that is what makes us righteous. But understanding the grace of God, it should not cause us to sin more, but it should cause us to sin less. Doesn't it seem like if someone is good to you, it seems like you ought to be good to them? But what happens in our lives is actually the total opposite. It seems like the more people do for us, the more we take advantage of them. But you ought to be good to people that are good to you. And so we see that he says, do you not know that whom you present yourselves to slaves to obey? You are that one slaves who you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you are delivered, and having been set free from sin. That means you don't have to be a slave to your sin. You don't have to be tied down to anything because you're free from it. Paul says in Corinthians, all things are lawful, but all things aren't expedient. And the part we miss that he said, I will not be brought under the power of anything. In other words, anytime you got to do something, you need to look at it. Oh, I like coffee. And y'all was joking this morning, I needed my coffee. But if I just got to have a cup of coffee to function, I need to reexamine that coffee's place in my life. Amen. That ain't a good way. I just got to see her today. I just got to talk to her. That's dysfunctional. You ain't got to do anything. you know, anything that has a grip on you that you cannot function is not good for you. And so he says, God, we thank you're free from that. And then I want to go, I want to slide over to verse number 21. And then he says, what fruit do you have now in the things which you are now ashamed of? for those things of death. I said this morning, some of y'all, older members, you only slowed down not because you had godly sorrow. You slowed down because arthritis made you slow down. And now you got grandkids, so you can't jump out of hotel windows and you can't drop it down to the floor because you might not come back up when you take it down to the floor. So you didn't change on your own. Life just caused you to change. So what benefit do you now have? Things you're ashamed of. In other words, you're going to get old one day. And you're going to look back and you're either going to be proud of your life. See, life takes discipline. And either you're going to have the discipline, you're going to have the, and in life, there's pain in life either way you go. I don't know who in here is living a good life and not struggling. If you ain't struggling and you ain't living right, he already got you. But if you're struggling, that means there's a war going on, Paul said, between what I want to do in my spirit and what's happened with me in the flesh. And he said, there's a tug of war going on when I want to do good. And as I said this morning, your old man is too much in striking distance. We got some people say, well, you know, don't cross me because I'll go back to. Why is your old man so close in proximity that the first thing you do every time something is go back to the old man to check somebody in real time? It ought not to work like that. It ought not to work like that. And so he said, these things you're now ashamed of, either you're going to have the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. I'd rather take the pain of discipline than the pain of regret. See, there's some choices you can make in your life that you can't do over. You can't go back and do it over. He says, and I've been set free from sin, and I'm a slave to God, and my fruit is holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. As I said this morning, the power of a choice. Are y'all still with me? The power of a choice. The power of the choice. A lot of us are sitting here today in regret because of choices that we made. And though you can't go back and unscramble eggs and you can't cry over spilled milk, you can do something about the choices you made today. You can say, I'm going to go out of here and start making better choices. And I like to think of my choices as a link. And I got one link right here today. And depending on the choices that you make, you are building your connection. Slave to righteousness or slave to sin. You are making that choice. God has given us that choice. And I'm glad this morning that God has given me the power to choose. I chose what route I wanted to come to Greenville Avenue. I could choose what I want to eat, what restaurant I want to eat, what I want to eat on that menu. I could choose where I want to go to school. Hopefully, unless you're in an arranged marriage, you chose the person that you're with. Y'all chose each other, and you're choosing to be a member at Greenville Avenue, and you can choose where you want to go to school. You can choose how good your grades are going to be. You can choose how healthy you want to be. All of these are choices. Now, you can choose if you want to be broke for some of us, or you can choose a budget. These are choices that you make in your life, and we all can make the choices. And let's not underestimate this. All of us in here are one bad choice from becoming a person that we don't recognize, a person that we don't like, a person that we're not proud of. And so to all of you who've been in the church 35 years, you can be in the church 20 years, and Satan will get you on that 22nd year. Because that's why Paul says, take heed, because you get comfortable. If you think you're standing, Satan's not going to stop. I said that this morning. I'm an outdoors person. In the past few years, I've been going to Colorado trying to find my next great outdoor adventure. And there was a couple years ago, probably 20 years ago, we camped out there. And they told us real quickly that one thing you don't do when you're camping is don't bring food inside of your tent. No exceptions to the rules. Don't bring food inside of your tent unless you want to be eaten alive. And then I was looking and I said, okay, I've done Colorado enough. I want to try somewhere else. And I looked online and I saw Yellowstone National Park. Yellowstone National Park is where Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana meet. And they had a campaign going on, and the campaign said, the bear don't care. And I said, that sounds good. What is that about? The bear don't care. And I looked at it, and every year, tens of people are mauled by bears. And let me tell you what happens. What they do is they try to get to the bear and try to take a selfie with the bear. Or they think, it's okay for me to put this sandwich in my tent. Yogi ain't gonna bother me. I can put this sandwich in my tent. I can get close to the bear. I can try to smile at the bear. I can wave at the bear. Oh, what about this one? I can outrun the bear. But the bear don't care. If you enter into the natural habitat of a grizzly bear, that grizzly bear will maul you. They don't care if you don't know the rules. They don't care if you're on your honeymoon. They don't care if you've never been outside. They don't care if you were hungry and you needed a sandwich. That bear will maul you if you get in their territory. And I thought about it. I said, that sounds a lot like 1 Peter chapter 5. When the Bible says, be sober and vigilant for your adversary. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. And I realized that Satan is like that bear and he don't care about you. And some of us got to realize, young people, Satan does not care about you. He don't care that you made a mistake, that you didn't listen to your mama, that you thought you knew what you was doing, and it was your first time. That bear doesn't care. And to our adults, Satan is not trying to hurt your feelings. I know Kiki got you in your feelings, but Satan don't care about Kiki, your feelings, how you feel. That's why in the church we carry our feelings. I'm out of here. I'm just mad at this. I don't like the church. Satan don't care how you feel. He don't care if you're depressed. And listen, he's not trying to bruise you. He's not trying to injure you. He's not trying to hurt your feelings. He's trying to absolutely annihilate you. He says he's trying to destroy you, and he's just like that bear. You think you're the exception to the rule? Keep going that line. Some of us, we draw the line. We get as close as to the line as we can get and say, ain't nothing going to happen to me. Amen. You ought to learn. There's a lot of folks locked up that made a bad choice and behind bars for the rest of their lives. So everything you do begins with a choice. Some of you are choosing right now to study your homework, to surround yourself with people who have dreams to go. I have a quote that said, don't let anybody who has done nothing tell you how to do anything. I want to talk to people who've been there and done that and doing it. Don't ask a broke person how to get out of debt. Ask a person who was broke and got out of debt and tell you how to get out of debt. So it says, I want a good marriage. Don't ask somebody who's gone on number five. Talk to somebody who's been in that thing for a long time and wanted to leave, but is still there. Choices that you got to make in your life. That one choice that you made, the choice you made not to skip class, choice you made to do your homework, the choice you made to listen to your parents, it begins right here. Somebody says, I want to lose 50 pounds. Stop worrying about 50 pounds. Make the choice at dinner today. What you're going to put in your mouth at each meal. It's the one choice at that day, at that time. Make the choice, what am I spending today? Who am I surrounding myself to? Because you got to be careful what you connect yourself to. And so you begin to make these choices. You know, you say, I'm gonna go to school. And these choices are just, I call, they're just links in your life. And a lot of who we are today is because of the choices we made in our life. And over time, our choices are just thinking. I'm going to use an acronym this morning to describe this, and that C is just choices. Choices, 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 choices. And as I said this morning, stop blaming the devil for everything. Amen. Some stuff ain't the devil. And a lot of stuff ain't God punishing you. Some stuff is just your choices. Amen. That you've made in your life. And at some point, you've got to understand the oldest principle in the Bible is seed, time, and harvest. And sometimes you have to start taking ownership. Stop blaming. I'm mad at my mama. How old are you? I'm 57. I'm mad at my sister. You had the same opportunities your sister had. We got a lot of people blame other people for why they do it. I don't want God to take away my ability to choose. And though you have a foundation, I had a foundation in my life, and I thank God for my foundation, but there was a certain time where I was disconnected from my foundation, and I had to make the choices. There's a lot of people who had good foundations and end up in jail. A lot of people who had good foundations, and we know them because they're at every church. I got them where we are. They say, you know what? I used to go to church back in the day with my grandma, and they knew they were in church. And listen, just because you are aware that you are a guilty distance from God doesn't mean you're going to change it. The prodigal son, when he came to himself, that wasn't when he repented. The Bible says when he came to himself, he recognized the difference between what he had joined himself to and how good it was in the Father's house. But just because you recognize you're in a bad place, that doesn't mean you're going to change. A lot of us know this stuff is not right in our lives, but we haven't changed it.
A lot of people talk about what they do. We just talk about what I want to do, and I'm going to do this and that. Just talk, and never make real change, because it takes hard choices sometimes in your life to decide what you want to do and what you want to be. And sometimes it's sad in your life. You make right choices, and then other people want to take the credit. You didn't study one test for me. Anybody graduate from school, high school, college? If you didn't cheat, I know we got some cheaters. But if you didn't cheat your way through, you had to take that test yourself. Honestly, I don't care how much you pray for me. I appreciate your prayers, but I got to live my life. I got to make the choices when I leave out of here. And those choices become links. And that C, choice. I think they were listening this morning because they would repeat the cheat. See, then that other, that H right there becomes habit. And habits come and go. And a lot of times your habit begins, every alcoholic had one drink. You started smoking the cigarettes, then the cigarettes started smoking you. Every habit began with one. Every habit. There's a lot of young ladies that end up with a child one time. I didn't know what I was doing. Still, you got a child. I thought he loved me. He gone. And all it took was one time. Take one choice to end up being arrested. One choice to lose everything you have. One bad choice can set you back financially for years. One bad friendship can ruin your life. One. And let me ask you this, young people. You ain't got to learn it for yourself. That don't make sense. A lot of people say, I got to learn for myself, like the young man. I got to go. Listen. Ain't nothing out here on these streets. Amen. I wish I had a witness in here. Anybody here ever been on the streets? Y'all always been in the church. I got one right here. Ain't nothing out here on the streets. But heartache and shame. So when God puts people, when you're in your Sunday school class and they're telling you to learn about God and have a relationship with God, they're not just talking. But the reason why a lot of our older members, we can't be used because we too ashamed of what we've gone through and we really can't help nobody. Yeah, but the reason why Paul was so good at what he was doing, he said, I made havoc of the church. I was an assassin. I destroyed it. But it was because of the grace of God that I am what I am. People need to see that there was a transformation that had occurred in you because of who you were connected to. And you just disconnected from the wrong person. These choices become habits. What kind of habits do you have in your life? It begins with a choice, and now this is something that you do. Maybe you're struggling with it. Maybe you do it every now and then. We got a lot of bad habits. Some of us have habits of gossip. And that's just as bad as substance abuse in the church. Because at least when you're smoking your weed, you're doing it at home. But when you gossiping, you're destroying what's going on at the church. But we got a lot of bad habits. And believe it or not, in the church, all of us at some point had a habit that we had to try to break. You may not want to admit it or deal with it, but we got bad habits in our life, and our habits are produced in the fruits that we have. You can have bad spending habits. You can have bad language habits. Some of us are social cussers. I don't cuss at church. I just cuss when you make me mad, or I cuss around the wrong different type of people, and that's just a habit that we say. It's a habit. I'm trying to break this habit, but it started one day. I just said, forget it. I'm just going to say it. And now it's a habit you're trying to break, and it just, it slipped out. No, it didn't slip out. It's inside. What comes out of a person, that's what defiles them. And it's a choice that becomes a habit. And then all of a sudden, when you struggle with a habit off and on, you quit sometimes, you start back up, then it becomes automatic. Basically, this is your default setting. This is what you go to. And the first time somebody says something to you, you don't go in the spirit. You go to going off mode. That's what you do. You go off. You use choice language. When you're depressed, you go to the bottle. And after you find out, after you knock back the whole bottle of Ciroc, your problems are still there. After you come down from your high, you still got issues. Because it comes automatic. We all got coping behaviors. And if I go out for a run to deal with my stress or go to the weight room, that ain't going to hurt my life. But certain drugs will, crystal meth will, crack cocaine will. And if you want to see somebody go down quickly, anybody, I know y'all don't have them in y'all's family, but most of us got somebody in our family that's been on some kind of drugs. Amen. Ain't nothing will mess you up like being on some drugs. Y'all need to help me out, adults, so these kids can understand that. But drugs and gambling, these things have ruined people's lives. addiction. And addiction is in the pews. It ain't just out there on the streets. It's in the pews. Some of y'all have bought so many scratch-offs this last year. You wasted all your money on scratch-offs and didn't hit nothing. Just... wasting all your kids' lunch money. You got to get one. You got to get another. Something like, Brother Bailey, have you ever bought a scratch-off? None of y'all's business. Change. Habits. Habits become automatic. It's what you automatically go to. And then C-H-A-I. It's your identity. It's who you are. In other words, you start off stealing M&Ms from Kroger. And now you're stealing paper clips from your office and staplers and pens. And now you went from just an occasional thief to being a kleptomaniac. You start off telling them, when the lies become little white lies, and now you just lie for no reason. Did you go to the store today? No, I didn't. I just saw you over here. I had somebody lie like that blatantly to me. You know how the text message settings go, and you know, y'all got to adjust y'all settings. And you send somebody a message, it can say they read it. And he didn't realize his settings were on red. And I sent him a message, he didn't reply, and I probably 2 minutes after I sent it to him, it said he read it. So I asked him about it the other day, and he said, I asked him about it, and then 3 days later, he said, I just read your message. And I said, man, you could have just said you read it a few days ago, and you forgot. You know, but we become that. That's our default. That's the easiest thing to do. Some of us been manipulating people our whole life. Some of you young ladies, you got a boyfriend your mama don't know about? And I say parents got to start getting their kids' business a little bit more. Yeah, because see, what happens is, see, Satan is crafty. He's adjusted. He's caught up. You used to have to go to places to get corrupted. Now the corruption comes in through your internet and comes in through your phone, and you can access anything from the world wide web. And so your baby go in the room, and they locking the door in your house. You pay the phone bill, and they say, Mom, get out of my room. My room? My phone? My stuff? You don't have a passcode that I don't know about. Amen. So the kids go to the room, and they all, see, this is like the internet. The internet is amoral. You can use the internet to spread the gospel, or it can be used to bring pornography into your home. Either way, it depends on the choices. But what we've done, we've allowed it to happen because we made the choice to be lazy, the choice not to get in their business, the choice not to know their friends, the choice not to show up. I always joke, my mom's right here, and I was joking. You know, one time I was at school, and, you know, I don't care how good you are as a young man, you always think about stuff, especially when you see your friends doing stuff. And I remember one time I was thinking about doing something mischievous. And about that time, and normally in Southwestern, there's one payphone, and I hope they've upgraded that since then, but it's one payphone, and it was one, no calls in, calls out. And so I was about to go hit the mean streets of Terrell. I don't know what I was going to do, probably nothing. I'm a bigger thug in my heart than I actually was in action. I was all talk, no action. But I was remembering, I was leaving out the phone was, and I believe in the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you, connect you. And I remember going out, and the phone was about to ring, and I picked up the phone, and it was my mom. She was like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. And she said, I just want to tell you, I'm praying for you. And then she said, keep holding up the bloodstained banner. I said, oh, man, I got to go back. I got to go back to the room. Because I got to hold up the bloodstained banner. I am somebody in Christ. And every once in a while, we need somebody to remind us. Every once in a while, my girl's in the room. I pop in the room. What y'all doing? Let me see your tablet. What? Why are you nervous? Matter of fact, I got all of your stuff blocked. All of your Google, your YouTube, you can't even get in it without me seeing it and knowing it. Yeah, when you grow up, you're going to be exposed to something, but it ain't going to happen on my watch. Had a conversation today. Everything you need to know about life, the birds and the bees, relationship, boys, talk to me. And I'll tell you, your parents, I'll tell you, I'm uncomfortable talking about it with them. Somebody's talking about it with them. So the choices become, it becomes identity, it becomes who you are because of your habits. And then C-H-A-I, and then it's now your nature. Your nature. It's second nature. You know, you don't even, you become somebody who you don't even recognize. Somebody who you don't even know. And it's like that person who's in a desert. After you've been in the desert so long, you begin to see a mirage. You'll start thinking you see water when it is no water. You won't even see how far you've gone, how far you've drifted away from God, and you got to come to yourself. Where's Chris? Come here, Chris. Chris is a young man, and I didn't know Chris was actually going to center the table this morning. But Chris, I'm gonna join Chris this morning to something, and. And I want to illustrate this point. As I told you, I like to illustrate this. And when I read this text, I think some of us are visual. We'll get this. Here's a young man, Chris. He starts making. I want you to come. Remember, I said you're going to be joined to something. Right. Somebody said, I just don't. No, you're going to be a slave to something. Right. Paul says you're going to be joined to something. Here's Chris. He starts doing things that nobody. And everything begins in your thought. Your thought life, the part that nobody sees and know. If you can get master your thought life, you can get a control of your life. Some of us think our way out of faith. Some of us thought ourselves into depression. We thought ourselves into defeatism. We don't have control of our thoughts. Guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so goes he. And so he allows his mind. He starts watching stuff he shouldn't watch. And then all of a sudden, he, you know, his parents, and I used to teach in school, and sometimes I would meet some parents, and I was like, you don't know your baby. You'd be surprised how many parents don't know kids that are living in their own house. Because youth, I know what y'all mamas and daddies sometimes don't know. Y'all are not as who y'all are at school and in public as you are at home and at church. So you make these choices. Now he's watching pornography at a young age, and then he gets older. He don't know why he can't really have real intimacy in his relationship. He started out maybe doing a little bit, and he smoked a little bit here. He took one little hit now, and now he can't even, he's missing class. His grades are dropping, and he's starting to make these choices. He's starting to get out here on the streets and do all these things. And mind you, Chris centered the table at Greenville Avenue once. He was here. We were watching him. He was around. He was in an environment. That's what happened to all of our churches, right? A lot of us know somebody who said he was once in church, but he began to make choices that were unchecked, not corrected, no guidance. So he began to make all these choices in his life, made these bad choices after bad choices. Then he goes, gets a credit card. And nobody ever told him that if you ain't got the money to pay it right now, what makes you think you're going to have it at the end of the month to pay the credit card? Because we don't know this kind of stuff. Who's telling us? Start making financial choices. Not only is he making bad relationship choices, bad personal choices, he's making bad financial choices. And now he's in a place where the only thing that he uses to cope is the drugs, is the alcohol, is the promiscuity in his life. And so here's Chris. Every time he wants to do something right, and every time he wants to get his life together, say, all these little choices you made, you connect, you in it too deep now. And then Chris says he wants to go to church, and he think he's walking away. He think he's go ahead and walk, Chris. Chris want to walk away, and hold on, listen. I own you. Who's your daddy now? You thought this was a game out here? I wasn't playing with you. You thought you could just ignore everything? I got you right where I want you. You are now a slave to sin. I own you. I own you, Chris. So Chris says, no, I can do this. And Chris keeps trying to leave. And every time he's right back here, I'm telling you what you can go. You can't do. And for many, there's a lot of adults in here that have been chained to some past for a long time. He's with me. He's a slave to sin. He's a slave to his own choices. Slave to his own choices. He said, man, this is me. This is why I said, if I don't preach any other sermon to the young people, just realize this, you are making the choices to join yourself to something. Chris can't seem to break the cycle. And then not only because Chris can't break his cycle, now he gonna have a, he got a family of his own, and he don't even know how to teach them because he's still struggling himself. And the cycles just perpetuate through the family of poverty and of domestic violence and of drug abuse and substance abuse and lack of, and it's all in the family. Chris can't go nowhere. And now he begins to lose hope. When you begin to lose hope, that's when you begin to sink. You begin to fall. All because of the choices that he made as a young man. That's why the Bible says, flee from youthful lust. That's why the Bible says, remember your Creator while you're young. And sometimes, young people, as I get ready to close, when you make these choices, you might feel stupid. People might talk about you. But that's okay. Let them talk about you. Let them talk about you. And sometimes you just got to take it. You got to deal with it. But you're trying to go somewhere in life. Somebody says, I hear kids all the time say, I'm going to Harvard. Not skipping class, you not. You can't turn in this little paper at your school. I used to coach guys like that. I'm going to Texas A&M. No, you're not. Not the way you practice. Everything begins right now where you are with the choices that you make. They are defining your life, and I wish I had some adults that could help me out on that. Amen. Amen. So here he is. I got him. But here's the thing. You don't even see the chains on Chris. You just know he's struggling, and you just know something's going, but you see him, but you don't see all the choices that led to him being who he is. I didn't even give you my sermon title. My sermon title is, Who's Holding Your Chain? Who's holding your chain? But then also this same young man who sent to the table this morning, looks like, you play football? Running back? I knew it. And Chris, he's in church, says, and let me tell you this, parents and students, it is possible for you to do your homework and still come to Wednesday night Bible class. You don't have to substitute being successful in your life with being a success in the kingdom. Because a lot of times we don't bring our kids and stuff, we take them to soccer practice, we take them to everywhere else. When it comes to church, we let them compromise. And then we ask, what happened to these kids? He missed service one time, and you let it happen. And then what happens? You get comfortable. Anybody who's ever been out of church an extended period of time, all it takes is a couple times to miss, and then you cool. You started off, I was in Bible class, and we're good in the church to talk about what we used to do. And as I said in the first service, I've always heard this. My father should say, unless you've heard him say, well done, that means you have not done well. Somebody says, I'm cool with where I am. Have you, anybody here heard Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Nope. Yeah, that means you got a whole lot of work to do. Absolutely. That means you got to start breaking some of these chains. And you're never too old to look at your links. You're never too old to reverse some of that behavior. And then think about it. You go to a doctor and doctors say you need to bring your blood pressure down. Go get you some Cheerios or cholesterol down. Go get you some Cheerios. Start walking. Start taking away some of those bad links. But we do the opposite. The doctor say, bring your cholesterol down. We're like, well, I'm going to the Golden Bird and get a 3-piece. That's not going to help you. And then you mad. Well, that'd be like being mad at the doctor for him just giving you back your test results. It's one thing to get a disease. It's another thing to get a preventable disease. See, it's one thing to be suffering, but it's another thing to be suffering because you made bad choices. Life is hard enough, even if you make all the right choices. So he can make these choices. He said, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get my grades. I'm going to choose a spouse that my parents, the type of person that, you know, that a godly person. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I don't know. I may not be a preacher. He may not be like me. I never said I wanted to be a preacher. I just wanted to be a good man in the Lord. But God may have something in store for Chris. So Chris says, I'm going to hang around Brother Travis, and I'm going to listen to Brother Gibbs and Brother Bradshaw, and I'm going to stay with the Lord, and they're going to tempt me. You know, I tell people all the time, don't think just because I've lived a good life, I ain't been exposed to the worst. As a football player, I've walked in on people. I've walked in on some stuff in college. I've had a lot of secondhand weed smoke because that's what was going on in the locker room and in the dorm. And I've seen a lot of stuff. But because I was making the right choices in my life, I knew when it was time to leave. I knew when it was time to walk away. I knew I wasn't taught this. I knew that this ain't me. And so I knew that if I made this choice today, it could redirect my whole life. I knew that my parents worked too hard to put me in college for me not to go in college and walk out with a degree. Walk out with a degree. One of the proudest days of my life, to walk out of a degree and knowing it wasn't just me, but the people who invested in me. I made a choice to go to class. I made a choice to study. Nobody did that for me. But you make the choices with the end in mind. The end is I want to walk across the aisle. The choice today is to play the video game or do my homework. So he makes the right choices, and all of a sudden, Chris is joined. But Chris is in the normal struggles of life. Sometimes, no matter how good you are, you want to act up sometimes. And you want to act up. Go ahead and walk away from, you can't. See, I some of us are at this point, Chris, I can't leave the Lord now, even if I wanted to. I know too much about him. When you start making the right choices to join yourself to him, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentle. See, when you join yourself, you realize there's so many blessings. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus, and the world can't give you nothing that God has not given you already. Like peace of mind. Money can't buy peace of mind. Relationship got peace of mind. And I'm joined to something that I can't get in a bed or a bottle or a boyfriend or in my bling. I'm joined to something. Every time I think I'm, come on, Chris, you got to help me out. Walk away. I'm connected. And God said, you my child. I ain't going to let you out of my reach. Because I made a decision to follow him. Then the words of David become true. One who had known ups and downs. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. See, you're going to be joined to something. You're going to be joined to something. But is it going to be righteousness to holiness? And Paul says, what benefit do you now have in the things which you're now ashamed? See, if you join yourself to righteousness, Chris, and I hope, and I know I'm using this as an illustration, but I hope one day we never say, remember when Chris was tied to a chain? Now the police got him tied to a chain. Because the law got him tied to a chain now, and he really can't. If you want to be a free man, live like a free man. And free men live within the bounds of the law. If you want a life of freedom, you got to live in the Word. The Word is not there to restrict you. I'd rather be joined to Christ than to be joined to Satan. It's a good life. It's a good life. The Holy Spirit, Paul would talk about the constraint of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't let you. See, the Holy Spirit works in line with the will of God. The Holy Spirit won't let you cuss nobody out. I don't know. I don't care what y'all think. That ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit won't let you be manipulative. The Holy Spirit only works in line with the will of God. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he's going to bring you into remembrance of all things. So if you're in your word, if you're in prayer, if you stay connected, you listen to your parents, you're staying connected to the right thing. And God's got his hand over you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is turned against those who do evil. What are you joined to this morning? Who's holding your chain? Is it the Holy Spirit who's constraining or restraining you? Or is it powers of darkness that are restricting you? You can no longer be who you are in Christ. And usually if you're under restriction, there's a lot of things we can notice about you. You don't smile a lot. You're not happy. You don't have real joy. Probably spend a lot of time with anxiety because you're worrying about things you can't control, stressing out things, anger. You got a lot of bitterness in your heart. You probably still a person who's blaming a lot of people. A lot of people like that. I'm still blaming mom, still blaming my cousin, still blaming my husband, still blaming my wife, and I never take ownership for my choices. Own up. That's the biggest thing I can tell you, young man. Own up to your choices. Make the choice and own up to it. Is there someone here this morning? Thank you, Chris. And Paul says, I've been free from that. And after a while, you know, it's kind of like, and I was saying, Chris, I'm not saying you're a dog, okay? But I have a German Shepherd. And one of the things with my German Shepherd, he's going to be big. He is big. And my German Shepherd, I fell off of my training. And thank you, Chris. Let's give Chris a hand. I fell off of my training. And the trainer who trained me to train my dog says, there are no bad dogs, there are just bad owners. Wow. Wow. So at one point I had my German Shepherd where I could walk with him off the leash. And when I move, he move. When I stop, he stop. And you know he's trained when a cat can run by and he don't go after him. Because he's trained to listen to my voice. He's trained to be in tune, in step with me. And what started off, the place that trained him was called, it's right there in Carrollton, called All Dogs Unleash. And I like that because you start off on a leash, but a good trained dog can walk off a leash. No matter what's going on, they say he has to listen to you because he walks by side. So he starts off on the leash, but then he's freed from the leash. So you might start off as you're developing yourself joined to it. But after a while, you don't need nobody to pull you back because you won't even leave the house because you know how to make choices better now. You don't need nobody to say, oh, you know, I need you to pick what's for me. You make better choices the older you get. Do y'all believe it or not, there are some gray-haired fools. Because wisdom don't come with age. Wisdom come with God. There's some people that, I heard a quote one day that said, growing older is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Because a lot of people have grown old, but they never grow up. And truth of the matter is, sometimes, y'all, God will have to ruin your plans before your plans ruin your life. And we ought to be thankful to God this morning that for some of us, he had to ruin our plans. We thought we were going on another way, but because of the foundation you had and a choice that you made this morning, what choices are you making in your life this morning? I know y'all thought that was a youth sermon. I know our youth can get it, but I think it's for all of us this morning. What choices are you making in your life this morning? And forget about that little chain. It's really just about this one link. What I'm joining myself to. Somebody says, I want to be great. Join myself to great people. I want more financial freedom. Read books. Talk to people who are financially free. I just want better relationship. Talk to people who have been there and done that. Don't talk to people who have no fruit. Because a lot of people talk about, a lot of people possess things that they do not, profess things they do not possess. So just because somebody professes something doesn't mean they possess it. You got to be around the people who possess it. So I hope, young people, it's clear this morning that your choices are important. And if you can understand what 10 plus 10 is, you can understand what I just said. You got to make good choices. Listen to the people that God has put in your life. You are not smarter than them. You don't know everything. And a wise man will learn from the foolish man's mistake. I got to go learn for myself. No, you don't. Listen to somebody else and learn from somebody else's mistake. Wouldn't a wise father turn around and tell his son, don't make the same mistakes I made? Or a mother say, I want you to be different than what I did. Learn from it. Learn from it. You ain't got to walk and experience everything. Ain't nothing out there in the street. And as I close this morning, if there's somebody here, I want one person to get up and testify how good the streets have been to you. I need one person to tell me how your life and drugs has changed your life for the better. I want you to tell me how keeping up with your 5 girlfriends has made your life much easier. It ain't going to happen. I'll wait. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But if you surrender your life to Christ, the best choice you can make in your life is for freedom, for peace, peace of mind. He didn't promise you that it's always going to be easy. But he did promise you he's always going to be with you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God doesn't deliver us, God don't deliver you from your current situation, it doesn't mean he ain't able. I said sometimes God sends his best students into the wilderness just to test them, to prove them. When Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit, Matthew chapter 4, on purpose into the wilderness to be tempted and tested of the devil. If you never tested and tempted of the devil, then he probably already got you. Be here this morning, and it all begins with being in Christ. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, a man ordained before the foundation of the world, was sent into the world to save the world? If you believe that, you got to repent of your sins. Again, it's metanoia, a change of mind which results in a change of action. You got to change your mind this morning. Young people, adults, we all got to change our mind. You got to walk out and say, I'm actually tired of doing this. This is not getting me anywhere, and this was my choice. Not my mama's, not the deacons, not the preachers, not my spouse. This was my choice. And I learned the more I take ownership of my choices, the more power I have in my life. And I realized that God gives us a lot of freedom, doesn't he? God gives us a lot of freedom to choose. You can live a good life based upon your choices. And it's an abundant life. And Jesus said, I've come that they have life and have it more what? Abundantly. But the same Jesus says that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possessed. So you can have an abundant life and have nothing. You can be rich when you're poor and poor when you're rich. Amen. When you have your faith in the right place. Attitude. It's not about what happens to me. It's about how I view it. So this morning, you can confess Jesus as your son, as a savior, and you can be baptized for the remission of sin. It adds you to the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27, for many of us have been baptized into Christ, have now put on Christ. And for a young person, that's where it begins. Your walk begins with Christ. I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ, and I know he's covered. See, baptism is not because you're perfect. Baptism is for all those times that you aren't. People say, I got to wait till I get it right. Nah, you can't get it right apart from the word. You can't get it apart from Christ. You can't get it apart from on your own. When you stop reading your word and stop praying and stop surrounding yourself with people who are going the same way in your walk, you're going to begin to shrink. You're going to begin to fall off the wagon. We got to stay on top of it every single day. Like you would grow a garden. You got to grow your life. And you got to grow yourself. If there's someone here who needs prayer, we had many who came down this morning. There might be some in the audience here today that need prayer for making better choices in your life. Or maybe asking God to give you the strength, and it takes the courage to own up to bad choices and to start making better choices in your life. I said this where I am at Cedar Valley. 1 year of your life can change the rest of your life. You could start right here today and say, I'm going to dedicate 1 year to this aspect of my life and change the rest of the life that you got left. But you got to have discipline, you got to have faith, and you got to own up for it. Nobody can walk for me. Nobody can lose my weight. Amen. Nobody can grow myself for me. And when I take ownership for that, then I'm liberated in Christ to say, the Lord, if the Lord is with me, as Paul says, if God is for me, because God, don't you believe, anybody believe God is for you this morning? God is for me. God is for you. I used to think God was a God sitting up in heaven with the lightning bolts ready to strike me down every time I messed up. Then I started reading the Bible and I started understanding grace, that if God wanted me gone, I'd be dead already. But I'm here because he has a purpose for me and God has a plan for me. Go ahead and live your life. Don't be a slave. Don't be shackled to anybody or anything. Don't let nobody control you, manipulate you. Live a free life in Christ. Obey God, obey his word, obey your parents, obey your instructors, obey your teacher. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. And let him comfort you in your difficult times. I've said enough here this morning. I know somebody needs to respond. I know, I don't know where you are. We got time for you. I know the Cowboys are on and y'all got games and all this. But isn't it funny how we run through our lives, and when it's time, we have the opportunity to for the church to pray for us. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, they do avail much. I believe there's somebody in here who can pray for you. And we need prayer, from the young to the old. What might be the case this morning? If you want to respond to the message, I want you to think about before you go out of here, who is holding your chain? Who's holding your chain? It's time to break free from those chains. There's a song we used to sing, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And I pray this morning that you would go and join yourself to the right things, the right people, the right thoughts, the right work ethic, the right mindset. And God can truly be glorified in your life. Whatever may be the case this morning, why don't you stand while we sing a song of encouragement?
I'm glad I know you. Know you. I'm glad you know me.